now here in John 17. Now this is one of the main reasons why, one of the main reasons, and in the Passover book I make it clear, that Jesus was not taught by any man in this world. He didn't go to the schools of the Pharisees, he didn't go to the schools of the Sadducees, he was taught of God the Father. Why? Because the schools of the Pharisees and Sadducees had what spirit? The spirit of this world. Not the spirit of God. What did Christ say of the religious leaders? You are of your father the devil. Is that not convincing that they had the spirit of this world and where it comes from? All right. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Why are we not of the world? Because we're not following the world. We're not following the spirit of the world. Now you see what's going to happen. I can see it just as clear as a bell right now. Worldwide Church of God is seeking accreditation for their college. Okay? In order to do so, they must go back into the world sufficiently enough to show that they are not strange as the world views them. But you wait and see if they get accredited here in the next couple of years, what's going to happen? Anybody guess? I'll tell you what's going to happen here. The Western accreditation of colleges on the West Coast are going to make it so that you cannot discriminate against homosexuals. Okay? So you join the world, you get the world. What does it say in, what does it say? Come out of her, my people. Come out of this world. How do we do that? By the word of God. Okay? I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world. Boy, there are times when I do wish that would be so. Okay? But I pray that you should keep them from the evil or the evil one. So we get protection from Satan the devil. We get protection against the demons. Provided that we stay out of the world. So is it no wonder that as the worldwide Church of God is seeking to become part of the world, that the world is moving in and taking over within, and that they are absorbing the spirit of the world with the theology of the world? It goes hand in hand. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Okay? Now, when we come back here to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter again, this helps us to understand that we have not received the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world comes from whom? Satan the devil. Who is what? The god of this world. Who controls the politics? Who controls the nations? Okay? Now, let's go back to Ephesians, the second chapter. And again, this is why it is good to memorize these basic scriptures. So that as you're going through and studying the Bible, immediately these things will go bang, 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 just fall right in place. Okay? Ephesians, the second chapter again. Okay? Pick it up. We'll just repeat here. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now works in. Notice the Greek, the English there, ETH, is now working, and it should read within, the children of disobedience. And I think that a lot of the extreme criminology that is going on around us has more to do with evil spiritual influence than just the law of sin and death within a person, because once they get involved with really getting into the spirit of Satan, getting into the spirit of this world even more so, then they become just overtly more evil. Now notice verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conduct. Now that tells you what Paul thinks of Pharisaism. Rabbi Dankenbrink thinks we ought to follow the Pharisees. Okay? And he quotes that he said he was a Pharisee concerning the law blameless, but he doesn't read the other scriptures, which he said, that's all a bunch of dung. I count all of that but loss for the excellency of Christ. So Paul, who was a Pharisee, is actually telling people, don't follow the Pharisees. Bunch of dung, scubala. Okay, among whom we all had our conduct. How? In the times past, in the lust of our flesh, that is the desires, and the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that's why people in the world, and what is the spirit of this world? Can you guess what the spirit of this world is? What does it produce? I'll ask the question just a little bit differently. We know the spirit behind it is Satan the devil, prince of the power of the air. But what does it produce? Okay, self-centeredness and false good? Okay. They love lies. They love to be lied to. Mm-hmm. And you can't talk them out of their lies. You know, just every year someone's going to write an article on Christmas, you know. Every year someone writes an article on Halloween. But what do? Well, they run out and do whatever they're going to do. Because they love it. Okay? Don't people love flattering lies all the time? Yes, they do. Okay? That's what it's going to produce. Now, let's go to Ephesians 6. And this is very basic. But we have to recognize that there is the spirit world, which is evil. There is the spirit world of God, which is righteous with the angels. And then we're over here. God has called us out of the world, okay? And so we have this battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Now notice verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that's what the spirit of this world produces. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, or it could read, wicked spirits in high places. So wherever there is a great leader, like the Pope, he's going to be ruled over by some prominent demon, if not Satan himself. And they have their own hierarchy. They have their own way of doing things. That's why it's seven heads and ten horns. Now let's look a little bit more about this. Let's go to the book of Mark. Because Mark has a lot of these things pretty well condensed as we go along here. Okay, the book of Mark. Let's pick it up here in verse 23. Okay, Jesus came into the synagogue, and there was in their synagogue, verse 23, Mark 1, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Okay, this is demon possession. Now what happens with demon possession? People are in varying degrees of insanity. Some may not appear to be insane, as we would call insane, but they're intellectual-type spirits. Okay? This one here apparently wasn't insane. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Okay, now that's quite a testimony coming from a demon. Okay? When they see that it is the Holy One of God, they know. Tells us a couple of things here. It indicates that they are going to be destroyed. Are you come to destroy us? Okay? So Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit tore him, that is just kind of violently threw him on the ground, he cried with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this that with authority commands he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him? Okay, let's come to chapter 3. Let's come back here to verse 10. Chapter 3 and verse 10. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him, for so to touch him as many as had plagues. And the unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, You are the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goes into a mountain, calls those, and ordains the 12, and so forth. Okay? Now, when we come to the chapter 3 and verse 22, the scribes, let's pick it up here, which came down from Jerusalem, said, He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the demons cast he out the demons. And you know the rest of the story. He says, well, how can Satan stand if his kingdom is divided? Okay? Well, let's come down here to verse 30. The reason he warned them of the unpardonable sin was because, verse 30, they said that he had, that is, Jesus had, an unclean spirit. So they knew about demonism then. Okay, chapter 4 and verse 15. Let's see what Satan can do. Here's referring to Satan. Chapter 4 and verse 15, concerning the parable of the sower. Says verse 15, These are they that are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Something like that happens every Christmas season and comes along. You know, I think one of the greatest things to happen on Christmas is that they sing the Messiah. Because in all this paganism, the truth of the gospel is preached through the Messiah every year. And yet they go stand before their Christmas trees and do whatever they're going to do and sing the Messiah. Can you imagine that? You talk about having closed minds. Okay? Let's come to chapter 6 and verse 7. Now, they can try and interfere with us, but with the Spirit of God, we need to recognize it and ask God to help us rebuke them in the name of Christ. We have the power. God has given us the power over them. We don't have to be subject to them. I know I've been on one session where we actually cast a demon out of a woman, and believe me, she was really bad off. She was totally, absolutely loony. And it was something to see her sitting, as the Bible says, sitting in her right mind a little later on. Okay, verse 7, Mark 6. And he called unto them the 12, and began to send them forth two by two, by two and two, and gave them power, that is, authority over unclean spirits. Okay, so when they came back, here's what they're doing, verse 13, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Okay, so they were going out and doing the work that they were supposed to do. It's interesting that you have a lot of sickness where there are a lot of demons. They're called unclean spirits, but you also have a lot of sickness. Now, all you need to do is just sort of, imagine in your mind India. Okay? Here's a place that it is just a receptacle of how many millions of demons. And their terrible religion and their terrible health and sickness and disease and leprosy and all of that. Boy, I tell you, that is a pitiful, pitiful place. Okay? Chapter 7. Chapter 7. And demons can affect children, too. Demons can possess children. And I'm convinced that a lot of the early homosexual experience that kids get into, other than just curiosity, has to do with demons who are around them controlling. Okay? Here's a case right here. Not exactly what I've just mentioned, but here's a case whose woman who knew that her daughter was possessed of a demon. Verse 25. For a certain woman, Mark 7, verse 25, whose young daughter, now young daughter, that's generally, you know, below 12, all right? Whose young daughter had an unclean spirit and heard of him, and she came and fell at his feet.
And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And I always think this is a tremendously inspiring example of honesty plus humility. And she said, answering him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the devil, or the demon, is gone out of your daughter. Okay, so it even affects children. That's why you can have children who are incorrigibly wicked at a very early age. And when there is not the teaching, when there is not the training, then the demons can come around and bother the children. And they generally come in the form of friends. And I'm convinced today they are around wherever there is all of this satanic evil rock music. I am sure that they come around and they are the forces and spirits behind a lot of these cartoons that kids watch. Have got to be. And I'm also convinced that most of these horror movies, which are put out by people who are controlled by Satan the devil, and the things that they depict there, they in their own lives probably have actually seen something almost exactly like they try and portray on them in the movies. So that's why I don't watch those evil and abominable things. I watch, boring things like, the Discovery Channel and dung beetles and things like that, Okay. Chapter 8, verse 38. Here's a little bit different, but this is showing the good angels, verse 38. Whoso therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So yes, I wanted to show the difference between the unclean spirits and the holy angels. Be in the body. There can be demon influence from the point of view of just trying to bring about depression and evil thoughts and things like this. And I am sure that, that the evil spirits gather around places like, you could say, where there would be the horror movies. Okay? Where they sell a lot of pornography and then begin to obsess people's minds. That's how a lot of these things take place. Some of these obsessions that people have, they're probably demonically inspired. Now, just at what point demon possession takes place, I cannot tell you, because I think in America we have been relatively free from a lot of demon possession. There has been some demon influence. But they are where their gods are, where their religions are, where if you go to a country like India, they probably have tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of cases of demon possession. Here, let's come to Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke 8. Okay? A person have demons cast out of them and then be converted subsequently, yes. We find right here, Luke 8 and verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven demons. Okay? So yes, they can. That is a tremendous healing that comes when they're cast out. Now let's find the one about the going into the swine. Let's go to Luke 11. In verse 24, and here's the point I wanted to make after that. What if the spirits are cast out, but nothing replaces it? Okay? Here's what happens. Verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he... I should be it, because spirit and... that particular case, okay. Walks through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return unto my home from whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished, but empty. See? So if something is cast out, if a demon is cast out, you better put in the Word of God, which is what? The armor of God. You better have the Spirit of God. You better not give in to those demons again. Okay? He comes and finds it swept and garnished, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, not only was this talking about just an individual, but I'm sure that this was also being applied to the Jewish nation at that time. Here, Christ came, he was casting out demons, he was bringing the Word of God, they had an opportunity, they rejected him, they refused him, and the demons came back, and voila, now we really got these people. Okay, so I think it has to do with that, too. Now let's go back to Luke, the 8th chapter again, and let's go through the account with the Luke 8 and verse. Yeah, let's pick it up here in verse 27. And he went forth to the land, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had demons. It says devils in the King James, but it means demons. A long time. And he wore no clothes. Now, can this tell you what's wrong with this idiot over here at the University of California running around naked? Okay? He's demon possessed. Okay? And neither abode in any house. That tells you some of the problems with a lot of the homeless. Not all of them. But those who are just out there are consumed in evil all the time. Okay? But in the tombs. Now that's a terrible place to live. I mean, you think of it. Not in a cemetery like we think. But the tombs, that is where there is kind of like a rocky cliff. Okay? And they actually cut out caves in there and put dead people in those tombs. So he would move away one of the stones and move in with the dead bodies. That's what you need to have in mind when you read this. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. Now see, the strange thing is, the demons know what's going to happen. But in a strange way, they think somehow that they can be saved. That's one of the reasons that a lot of the demons are religious fanatics. Because they feel if they can get in the body of a person and that person can be saved, they will be saved. Okay? And fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the God? Most High, I beseech you, torment me not. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, for oftentimes it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands." Now that's a lot of strength. Okay? He just broke them. "And was driven of the devil or the demons into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many demons were entered into him." Now Legion is actually 10,000. I don't know if this guy had 10,000. But that's something. "And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep." Now that is the abyss. And where do we find the abyss mentioned? It is called the bottomless pit in Revelation 9, bottomless pit in Revelation 20. Okay? And there are spirits who are in prison in the bottomless abyss. And you read in Revelation 9 that when God says they're going to come out, they're going to come out and all literal hell is going to break loose on this earth, such as not has been seen in our lifetime. Yeah, the question is, the ones that are in the abyss now, are they really more evil than the other ones? I'd have to say yeah. And the ones that are on the earth now are not quite as evil? I would say yes. And I would say that we're going to see more and more evil. You know, and we're going to see that the spirits that control the Democratic Party, I'll just have to say it, if you're a Democrat, don't be offended. They've taken over. That has nothing to do with you. we're going to see the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah and homosexuality and all this sort of thing sweep the nation as never before.
The question is, do I think there are more in one than in the other? I would say that there are perhaps...
I'm sure the demons control the different parties, all of them, because they're of this world, okay? But I'm sure that in choice, by choice, it would be my opinion, okay, so I'll state my opinion, that there are perhaps more of the perverted type demons that are in the philosophy of the ultra-left that are in the Democratic Party. Okay? I would say you have more of the militant religious right in the Republican Party. Okay? I'm sure they're in different groups. Sure they are. Sure, the demons are constantly fighting against each other for control. But it is divided. That's why it can't stand. Same house is divided against itself. The comment was made that the local station here, what is that, Sacramento? Yeah, Sacramento brings about all the demon things that are taking place. Please don't misunderstand me by me saying that the Democrats are demon-possessed. I'm just saying that there are more perverse demons which associate themselves with the Democratic Party. Just look at the proof of it, okay? Than there are with others. That's not to say that one is right and is better than the other. That's not to say, as the Republicans did, that we are God's party. Nonsense. They are of this world, okay? They're not God's party, and neither is Perot, neither is the Pope. Okay, God's party is sprinkled like salt around the earth. You're it. Okay? So it's the spirit of the world. Okay, so let's pick it up here, verse 32. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would allow them to enter into them, and he allowed them. And when the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine, the herd ran violently down the steep slope into the lake and were choked. That is, they were drowned. Now the question is, why did they do that? I don't know, other than the fact the unclean likes the unclean. I couldn't tell you. Well, it shows the futility of the demons. It shows the futility of the demons. And a comment was made, maybe this helps explain a lot of the irrationality of the things around us, that the demon inspired in the first place, and you know, this was irrational to leave when they were cast out there, say, oh, we'll put us in the swine, and then they drove the swine into the lake, and they all drowned. Well, got rid of two unclean things at once, a herd of swine and the others. You know, I think if they would use swine to take care of the garbage, probably wouldn't have near the portion that we would have. You know, swine can eat anthrax. They pass through their system and manure, and it's neutralized. So what they need to do in a lot of these toxic places, put the pigs in there. Let them clean it up. Let them root it up. Hey, let's go on back. Not eat the things. Well, some of the Orthodox rabbis in Israel like to do that today because, believe it or not, they sell hog meat in Israel today, and what they do, they have the hog farms east of the Jordan River, okay? And they have a big hog farm over there, and they produce sausage and the whole thing, and the Jews who don't believe in the scriptures concerning unclean meat, they're over there, they take care of it, so you see, there's always the way around it. But here it is, I think it is true, this shows the irrationality of the demons and the way that things are done. Okay, yeah, well, that's a good comment. The comment was made that what they thought was going to happen would be far worse than going into the swine. And I, you know, they said, you think the tormentors or destroy us. So they figured, oh, well, you know, let us go in the herd of swine over here. Well, instead of going into the abyss, okay, they went into the swine, and still they ran down the hill and into the lake or, in, you know, the Sea of Galilee and died. The pigs did, but they didn't. But I think this is to show, I think the lesson here is the futility of demon thinking and demonism that is never going to work. And they're going to have to face the judgment of God.
who owned the herd. And when David fled them, saw what was done, they fled, I guess. They went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done, and Jesus came and found the man out of whom the demons were departed, sitting at the, they came and found him then, came to Jesus, found the man sitting there, at Jesus' feet, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The other account says that the man wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, no, don't follow me. You just stay here and tell everyone what good things God has done for you. Okay? Now, that is really quite a testimony to the power of God, also the power of demons and what it does to people. So, also, just as there are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, there are the fruits of demonism, which is superstition, which is uncleanness, which is evil, all of these things, and in varying degrees, depending on which demon that there is. There are demons of darkness, there are demons of dumbness, there are demons of insanity, there are demons of physical illness, where people can actually be possessed and their whole physical bodies change. So all of those have to do with it. Okay, let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10 and verse 17. And the 70 returned again to Jonah, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to unto us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And you put right in the notes there, Revelation 12:4. The one he fell from heaven drew a third part of the stars of heaven, okay? That's when that occurred. Behold, I give unto you power, that is authority, to tread on serpents, which is probably in demons, and scorpions, another form of demons, as it were. And isn't it interesting that all the Satanism has all of these unclean things, and scorpions, and snakes, and crabs, and, you know, all of this thing, all the time associated with it, okay? And over all the power of the enemy. So that's how we're kept from the evil one. We have power over them. They have no authority over us. No authority over us at all. They can come along and try to do things to us, but as long as we have the whole armor of God, there's nothing they can do. Furthermore, we are kept from the evil one. And that's part of the blessing of being the children of God. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the demons are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So that's the rejoicing there. Okay. Now let's go to Acts, the 5th chapter. We'll see some things here in a minute. When the church was growing, and let's pick it up here, Acts, the 5th chapter, and verse 14. Acts the 5th chapter and verse, no, let's go to verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They see why then, see how they had authority over all the unclean spirits, over the diseases, and over these things. That's why, brethren, we don't need to be afraid. We don't have the spirit of fear. We don't have the spirit of the world. But, you know, we don't need to, because of the devices of the world, have their minds feed on these things through television, through movies, and things like this. Okay? Now, verse 13. And the rest dared not, no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. But believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women, insomuch that they brought that sit into the streets. Now, don't you think that this was rather a notorious thing in Jerusalem? Don't you think that Solomon's porch right at the temple with all of this going on, was he standing over there looking out with their beady little demon eyes watching what's going on? The scribes, the Pharisees, looking at all of that? They no wonder that they went after them the way that they did. Okay? We'll see that in just a minute. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. This was not just at Solomon's porch. This was all over Jerusalem. and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them, so that they could be healed. This was a mere mob scene, brethren. This was thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Boy, that's a fantastic occurrence. Now notice verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were within which were of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Why, they should have been happy that all of these people had been healed. They should have been happy that they were all being freed from the unclean spirits. No, but these Sadducees and Pharisees were filled with indignation. They were of their father, the devil. That's why they were mad. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But here again, okay, notice verse 19, that the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. Okay? Nice, neat little trick. Then you can read the rest of the story then. All right, let's come to chapter 8. Then verse 7. Seeing that Philip went and did the same thing, he went down to Samaria. Acts 8 and verse 7, when he was doing these things, the unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with him, and they took them with palsies, and they that were lame, were healed. And it was great joy in that city. And here's another guy statement, Simon the magician. He wanted this. What did he use? Sorcery. He hits them. He wanted the Spirit of God. Now, if the Spirit of God were a person, now you see we're beginning to get into some problem areas if you say the Holy Spirit was a person. And he wanted this power. All right, now let's go to Acts 16. That's the 16th chapter. And there are the spirits of divination. We have them today? No way. Yes, we do. You can read of it in Star Magazine and in Inquirer. You know, the last 2 weeks before the end of the year, which is coming pretty quick, what do we have? The prognostications of all of the witches of this world. Okay, which is the spirit of divination. Is Jean Dixon still alive? I don't know. Yes, she's still alive. And what do people do? They get those things and they gobble them up. You know why they sell so many Inquirer and Star and all that? You know why? Not because of Inquiring Minds like mine. Inquirers, the odd guys. Okay? But because people love lines. Oh, yes, they have 800, 900 numbers. You can get some divination right over the phone. Okay? Boy, just think of the headphones back here in Philippi when Paul went there, Acts 16 and verse 16. During the passage, they learned to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination menace, which brought the master as much gain by its soothsaying. They're also called augurs, A-U-G-E-R-S. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way to salvation. The demons want to be saved. They don't want to be destroyed, but they're not going to have the way of salvation. And this is it for many days, that Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out of her the same hour. And the business collapsed instantly. So what did they do? They sought government restitution, right? But that's not similar to what's going on in the world today. All them up before the magistrate to judge them. You know? Okay? Now, let's come to chapter 19. We have again, meaning the demon spirit, which are spirit beings. Okay? There again, we find miracles wrought by the hand of Paul, verse 11. We'll see this account. I think this is quite an account here of what the power of God and also the power of demons over people who think that they're going to fool the demons. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from this body were brought under the sick, both the ticks or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits were out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. And that's what most of these exorcists are. They're people that use the power of Beelzebub to cast out demons. Okay? And that happened, yes, because they go from one to another. Took upon them to call over to them that had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, and they're judged by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there came, and there were seven sons of one, Siva, a Jew, and took of the priest which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was, leaped upon them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. It sounds like one of these karate fights, you know. Well, I'm dead. It makes you wonder about some of this karate, too, doesn't it, huh? And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks and also dwelling in Ephesus, and prayer fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord was magnified. Okay, well, that shows you the good, the bad, the ugly, and the evil out of the Bible that the Spirit brings. But I tell you what, I think we would be absolutely amazed how much of this world that we don't even think of that appears good is not from God. That comes from Satan and his control of this world. Okay? Well, that comment was made that even the police are going to some of these prognosticators, you know, some of these detective stories, and get this seance in there, and they get this psychic in there, and they, you know, all this sort of stuff. And some